Welcome to Our Sacred Journey with your host, Audrey Katagawa. Our program is designed to bring you inspiration, new perspectives, and experiences of love, compassion, and kindness in action. Our guests are global citizens who live and manifest their values, principles, and ideals. Come share in their activism and values that are making positive contributions to humanity. Now, here is Audrey Katagawa.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners. This is Audrey Katagawa, host of Our Sacred Journey, with our very special guest this week, Dr. Sakina Yacoubi. Selfless, fearless, and a pioneer in her country of birth, Dr. Yacoubi founded the Afghan Institute of Learning to help address the problem of poor access for Afghan women and children to education and health services. Since its founding, over 9 million Afghans have received education, health services, and teacher training. Over 1.5 million women have received direct health services. Over 2 million women have received health education. Almost 20,000 teachers have been trained. Over 4.5 million students of trained teachers have received a better education and learned critical thinking skills. Almost 18,000 civil society members have been trained in leadership, human rights, peace, and administration skills, and nearly 345 grassroots community-based schools, centers, and clinics have been supported. In its recent history, Afghanistan is a country torn by wars for over 30 years, with a substantial decline in the education, health, and rights of women that has also seen the erosion of the traditional cultural norms and values of the people. Dr. Yacoubi has been a guiding light to help restore the educational foundation, health, culture, and human rights of the Afghan people, while simultaneously developing programs for peace, democracy, and leadership with critical thinking skills and the rights of women. Born in Herat, Afghanistan, Dr. Yacoubi came to the U.S. in the 1970s and received her college and graduate degrees in the United States. The recipient of numerous awards, Dr. Yacoubi held a groundbreaking international conference in April this year on love, spirituality, and forgiveness in Herat, Afghanistan. She also founded the Professor Sakina Yacoubi Private Hospital in Herat and the Professor Sakina Yacoubi Private High Schools in Kabul and Herat. Dr. Yacoubi, welcome to Our Sacred Journey. We usually like to have our guests help to create the sacred space of our program by offering a prayer. Would you please share with us today your prayer?
Of course. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Thank you, Audrey. I really appreciate all the audience, and I am thankful to you that you give me this opportunity to really talk about my program, about my belief, what I believe, and about my situation in Afghanistan. So I am, from the bottom of my heart, I am thankful and grateful to your service. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So do you have a prayer that you would like to offer this morning, this afternoon?
That's my prayer. And this is the prayer that always when I start something and when I get up in the morning, and when I do any activity and I am attending a conference or I am giving a presentation somewhere, this is the prayer that always I start with. And the meaning of this prayer I will say afterward. I say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. In the name of God, merciful, compassionate, and above all, love and forgiveness. That is the God that we all start our work with. And that's my prayer. I start with that.
Thank you. That was so beautiful. Dr. Yacoubi, it seems unusual that you're a highly educated lady who was born in Afghanistan and had the ability to study abroad in the United States in the 1970s. How is it that you were given the encouragement as a woman growing up in Afghanistan to become so educated?
Well, this is a long story, but I'm going to start because I really dedicate my entire life to my father, who really was behind all this. You know, in the time that I was born in Afghanistan, at the time that I really grew up in Afghanistan as a young lady, as a small kid, it was a time that really the culture and the tradition and also the belief of the people did not allow the woman to go out of their sight for a night. But my parents, especially my father, was able to send me far away from here, from his home, which is Kabul, Herat, Afghanistan, to United States. So that is, it's all the credit goes to my father. My father himself was a orphan, 5 years old, left from his father, and he was a very successful businessman in the end. But he really suffered. And the reason that he suffered because he was not educated. So what his effort was constantly or encouraging me to really learn education. And he told me, as long as I want to study, he continuously will support me. And that's the way I started. And that's the way that he really sent me to America to get my education. Because for one reason or another, somehow he had this feeling. He was a very smart, intelligent man. And he had this vision that somehow, once I graduate from 12th grade, I wanted to go back to the capital of the country, which had the university. In my hometown, we didn't have university. So I wanted to go to the capital. He said, we have to, as a family, entire family, wait for a year. Then he will move me to capital, and then I will be able to continue my study. But sure enough, it was a time that Russian was planning to come to Afghanistan. A lot of things was going on. So he said, once he got the opportunity, and the opportunity is a very weird opportunity, that the Peace Corps volunteer who were living in our house, in our compound, so they said that, why don't you send her to America? Because at the time, I could not go to Kabul, and I was supposed to stay for a year without education. And sure enough, my father took that opportunity, and he sent me to America. And then, since then, I continue study and getting where I get.
Well, we really have to express our gratitude to our parents who really helped to influence and shape our lives. And we especially have the gratitude to your father for his foresight in seeing to your education. So now, Dr. Yacoubi, Afghanistan has been in the forefront of international news for decades with over 30 years of wars in its recent history. The most recent war, of course, which began in 2001. So please tell us what these wars have done to the people and your country.
Well, you know, as you said, everything, as you said about the background, it's fantastic, and you are absolutely right. The people of Afghanistan suffer tremendously, especially the women of Afghanistan and the children. You know that first the Russian came and invaded Afghanistan. At that time, there was men, women lost their life, children lost their life. A lot of, like, 7 million people become refugee and Pakistan, 3 million people become refugee in Iran, and so the whole country fall apart. And then after the Russian invasion, then it was a civil war inside Afghanistan. Mujahideen was fighting again. This Mujahideen fighting again, people, the victim were women and children. And so then, of course, afterwards, the Taliban came, and then that system completely destroyed women status and women progress. So I have been in Peshawar, Pakistan. First, I start my work going to Peshawar, Pakistan, to just to see how, what I can do, how I can help the people of Afghanistan. And let me tell you, when I went to the refugee camp, women were miserable. They were poor. They were sick. They were tired. They were exhausted. There was no food. There was no opportunity for them. The men, most of the family, they lost their men for the war. Most of the rest of the family, they had their men fighting inside Afghanistan. And in the camp, I go from one camp to the next. I saw that these young women doing nothing, sitting around the camp and just wasting their life. And at that moment, you know, that it comes to me that who am I that I have the privilege of education? Who am I to live such a wonderful life? And look at these are all my sisters. How they live? They are starving. They are exhausted. They are abused. They have been violated, and they are here. What can I do as an individual to help? And you know, looking at myself and being a woman and say, well, I can do anything else. And one thing that I really believe is education. I know education will transform people. I know education will change life. I know education create environment for you, create a status for you that you will be self-sufficient. Education is a area that you can really change your life. And that was it. And since that moment, which was in 1990, I decided I'm going for education for the people of Afghanistan. Since then, I started the program, and I knew at that time that when I was in Afghanistan as a young girl, tried to get education, it was rote memorization. With the rote memorization, you don't learn that much. So I told myself that if I really want to provide a quality education that the students stay in class, education that people will learn a skill with it, education that people will be encouraged, that kind of education, I really need to really develop manual that the teacher will be able to teach the students in a way that the students will be challenged. And that was critical thinking. And since then, I start writing manual. I wrote 8 manual inside camp. And from those manual, it was a participatory methodology, a student-centered technique. And that manual taught the teacher how to teach that the students will be challenged and ask questions. And how I could do that in a refugee camp that everybody was just sitting doing nothing. If there was a lawyer, if there was a teacher, if there was an engineer, you didn't know in the society, in the camp, who is doing what. So that encouraged me to go from camp to camp and try to search how can I find somebody who is really powerful, somebody who can say something that the rest of the people will be able to listen to that individual. And that individual was Mullah. I went to the Mullah.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Sakina. This is so fascinating. And, you know, I want to tie in what you've been sharing with the major drawdown of foreign troops in Afghanistan, which will be coming about in your very near future. So we have to take a break right now, and it's time for us to take that short break. And we are here with Dr. Sakina Yacoubi. This is Audrey Kitagawa on our sacred journey. And we'll be back with more conversation with our inspiring and fascinating guest, Dr. Sakina Yacoubi.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Tune into Earth Mama Radio with host Mary Lambert. Our show is all about finding the wonder in the world around us. Through the years, Mary Lambert has dedicated her life to learning and experience, particularly in her own work in the human energy field, photography, animals, and nature. She'll share some of her discoveries with you while fostering a desire for peace and well-being. Earth Mama Radio can be heard live every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Being here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss being here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
We all want peace. We all desire a more meaningful life. We work hard to achieve these things, but at what avail? The key is authentic living with Andrea Matthews. Andrea will interview some of the great spiritual experts of today and will provide wisdom to help you raise your consciousness to the level of your own I Am. Your authenticity can give you miraculous gifts, but you have to know how to get there. Listen for Authentic Living with Andrea Matthews. Heard live every Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
You are tuned in to Our Sacred Journey. To reach Audrey Kitagawa, please send an email to dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. That's dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. And now, back to our sacred journey.
Welcome back. This is Audrey Kitagawa with Dr. Sakina Yakubi on our sacred journey. Now, Dr. Yakubi, before we took a break, I wanted to be sure to mention what will happen when there's a major drawdown of foreign troops, especially with the Americans who will have the largest number of troops on the ground now, and they'll be leaving very soon. Tell us what you think will happen when the foreign troops leave.
Well, again, Audrey, thank you for asking me this question. I really would like to share this with our audience. You know, always you keep hearing a lot of problem about Afghanistan. Of course, we have our problem in Afghanistan. And there is war right now in Afghanistan. Every day there is explosion somewhere. Every day somebody is losing their life. Children, women, men, everybody. But the point is that I would like to talk a little bit about the progress of the woman's life that has been made during these years. I am really a believer and a strong believer in God. And I really believe that today is a day that we really have a lot of opportunity because the woman itself, they by themselves, they have progressed so much from that. If we really compare the woman of today by the woman of 10 years ago, really unbelievable. Today, the women are more stronger. They are highly educated. They have higher education. People, they are really, really getting into the political arena. They are getting into the task force of work, different kind of skill. They are really enthusiastic about changing their life. And they are not the same woman that they have been 10 years ago, that they were submissive. They were somebody who was sitting in the corner and just listening and taking in everything. Today, the women of Afghanistan are different. And for during these 10 years, if they have progressed so much, I really strongly believe that if they are giving another 10 years, you will see that the woman alone by themselves will change the country completely. You know, the woman has suffered for 32 years. For 32 years, you know, so much war destroyed Afghanistan, destroyed the people. 3 decades, we lost education completely. We have a young woman who are 18 years old who do not know how to read and write. So if we start from that kind of situation, it takes time. It's for long term. We are trying to work alone by itself, as you mentioned, EOL has reached 9 million people so far. And I really think that we are in that momentum that if we are giving another 10 years, believe me that the women of Afghanistan will take over and they will be strong and they will be capable and they will be able to say no to abuse. They are going to be not violated because they are not going to accept that. And that is we are looking for. But I would like to say that the American people or international community or international NATO ally, whoever is listening to this, I would like them to know that there has been a lot of change during these years. Yes, it still is war there. Are we done? No, we are not done. Are we managed everything? No. But the health of the woman and the education of the woman improves tremendously. But we have a long way to go. And I really hope that security be given to us. You know, if the security was there, EOL alone by itself, with God's help, we have been able to go to 12 provinces of Afghanistan. But if the security allows us, we will go to 33 provinces of Afghanistan. But we don't have security. There are areas that is still there is no school exists. There are areas that is still there is no women's center. But if the security allows us and we do have a secure country, I think that we will be able to reach to that area. But to right now, the NATO ally leave us. You know, again, it breaks my heart to really sit and think about it, but I'm going to really say that to you. When the Russian left, the people of Afghanistan was giving that, oh, if Russian leave, we will be helping you. They left and the help is stopped. Then during the Taliban, if you really get rid of the Taliban, rid of that system, we will help you. Now again, we are in that peak and the women are progressing. And now, if everybody leaves us, what will happen? I ask the international community to stay with us. Please be patient with us. Please to see all the other improvement. Don't just look at the negative stuff. Yes, war is there, but there are many, many things are happening into Afghanistan. You know, mortality, morbidity rate in Afghanistan is one of the second highest in the world we are. But do you know that since we start the health education program, today 70% we reduce the mortality, morbidity rate. This is huge. This is a great, great news for the world to hear. But of course, still there is a problem. You know,
yes, I'm very glad that you're able to bring in the positive transformations which have taken place by the presence of security and the opportunities that AIL has provided to the women. And so can you just give us the website address of the Afghan Institute of Learning so our listeners can know where to go?
Well, if you want to find out more information about AIL, you can go to www.AfghanInstituteOfLearning.org. If you reach to our website, you can see all the information and whatever you can want to search more, you can look at our partner organization, which is Creating Hope International. It is www.creatinghope.org.
Thank you so much. And, you know, you started the Afghan Institute of Learning in 1996. And as you were sharing, the literacy rate of the entire population is around 28%, with female literacy being as low as 10%. But with all the tremendous strides that the women have made under your leadership, can you tell us what motivated you to start this organization and to address the educational needs of the people?
Well, first of all, as a little child, when I grew up in Afghanistan, and as I told you, I had a father who put me into school at 4 years of old. When I was 4 years old, I went to school, and I, by the age of six, every book that was in the mask, I completed. So that the mullah told my father that, oh, well, there is no any book to I teach her. And then when they took me to the school, 2 grade, I was promoted, because I didn't have to study 2 years. But the point is that if from that point, I know education is very important. And my point is that when I was a little child, children are very sensitive and they are very, very pure. Every time that I was in the street, I see a body of woman be carrying to the graveyard or a body of child being carried to the graveyard. That moment, always I told myself, I'm going to be a doctor that I really help the woman, that they will not lose their life. My own mother, in front of myself, my eyes, had 16 pregnancies. Every time that she delivered baby, she was almost going to the tomb because of bleeding. Well, these things stay with me all the time. I always pray about it, that I am going to study very hard and I'm going to be a doctor to do that. Why? Because I know that if you are educated, you take care of yourself. And right now, I am telling you the impact of my program. From village to village, I go. I see the people, when I tell them to wash your hands, they don't understand what I'm trying to tell them. But when I talk to them about health education, about hygiene, about immunization, and about going to the clinic and having tests and having checkup, do you know that when we start a village, it is so disastrous. The skin of the people are very bad. They are malnourished. But by working with them, it's improved tremendously. I could go village to village right now. Those people at the beginning, when we set up the program, and now they are so different. Their skin is better. Their health looks much better. They are more nutritionist issue is become a very big topic for us, because constantly we are working with them that really they have to take care of themselves. Again, we are living in a country who is going through poverty. Afghanistan is a very poor country. People, 95% of people of Afghanistan lives in poverty. So health education is very, very important, that a mother, if it's healthy, she will make sure that her child is healthy. And if a child is healthy, you know, and I know that a child who is healthy, they can learn better. Learning takes place faster, and that's what we are after. And that's the reason I really set up this organization, because strongly I believe in education, and I think that education is the key issue for really to reaching out for people.
So it sounds as if AIL provides not only academic education and critical thinking, as you indicated, but it also helps the people to understand the health aspects as well. So you're educating for health as well.
Well, the issue is that we want to transform life. We want to change the status of the life of the people. We want to reach them for economically, academically, economically, health-wise. And all these three issues are like a chain, connected to each other. If we are reaching one and leaving the other two, we are not doing that much. So because of that purpose, we are trying to make people educated. We try to help people to be healthy, and we try to make people to be economically sustainable, that they have a better life. And that's our objective. And that's the area that we are working for. Because you know that once you have money, you have power. And everybody knows that today. If you are poor, you are miserable, you are not having education, you cannot reach that much. And nobody listens to you also.
Uh-huh.
Today, my issue is that women of Afghanistan has to be economically sound, sustainable. That they sound sustainable, they have money, they know what to do with it. Because then nobody will tell them what to do. And when you have the education behind you, then you can choose a skill that you have a job, a professional job. Then that you will be able to also go to the political arena. Of course, right now we have 25% of our population can get into the parliamentary and to get to the country.
Yes, I understand that right now you have a woman running for the president, the office of the president in Afghanistan. So we're going to have to take another break right now. This is Audrey Kitagawa with Dr. Sakina Yakubi on our Sacred Journey. We'll be right back for more conversation.
This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on 7th Wave Network. What do the stars really hold in store for you? Yeah, you've heard that before. What you need is an astrological detective to help you get inside and sort it all out. Enter Andrea Gertz, astrological detective. Andrea uses various research methods to explore the magical science of astrology. What does the future mean? Is that person really your soulmate? And why? It's not just the what, but the how and why. It's Andrea Gertz, astrological detective, heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
It's time to explore the great shift that is taking place in our world. Every week, be sure to tune in to Walking Terra Christa Radio. Terra Christa means the new earth. Hosts Christine Melaresi and Mike Hayden, also known as Mel and Mike, will guide you across the third dimensional veil to help move you toward a fifth dimensional reality. Through our guests and the wisdom of your hosts, you'll be prepared to make this shift to Walking Terra Christa. Listen Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Be visionary. This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
You are tuned in to Our Sacred Journey. To reach Audrey Kitagawa, please send an email to dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. That's dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. And now back to Our Sacred Journey.
Welcome back with Dr. Sakina Yacoubi, our very inspiring guest. And I would like you to share with our listeners, Dr. Yacoubi, what kind of services does AIL provide?
Well, as we talked, discussed before, EOL main goal, main purpose is to really educate the civil society. And we have come a long way, but education is something that is continuously going on, and especially with teacher training. You continuously train the teacher, and if you really want to have a valuable program, you want a valuable program, you want to have a class that really students learn from it, then you have to have a teacher that will be able to challenge the students and participatory methodology and critical thinking. And right now in Afghanistan, as you know, 7 million children are going to school compared to the time that we had no students in the classroom at all. 10 years ago. Today, 7 million kids are going to school. From this 7 million, about 2.5 million are girls. This is a good news for us. We are very happy about that. But the issue is that, is it this education is finished, or is this education is sufficient? If you want to really build a nation, you cannot build a nation by primary or secondary education. You need a higher education. A higher education means that you need a doctor, engineer, a researcher, a teacher, a philosopher. You need all kinds of higher skilled people in the civil society. In order to do that, we really need, first of all, to stay in Afghanistan and work with the civil society for longer term. Second, you have to develop a design curriculum that can reach those all the people. Some people maybe will say, well, the government of Afghanistan is doing that. But, you know, the government of Afghanistan could not do all these things. First of all, our government is right now doesn't have the capacity to do all the things. As a non-profit NGO, we need to take part, and we need to really build up this civil society with the help of us. The government could also do it. But if we do not do our task, which is mean training and giving education to the civil society, the government could not take all part. And so I feel as an individual citizen responsible to do this and to be able to provide education. Also, we want a citizen that be responsible. Every citizen that is living in that country, they must feel responsibility. And the reason that we do that, we can do that through the higher education, that people will be responsible, their ethics will be good, they will be able to know what is good, what is bad, and they will be able to not follow other people's words. They should think for themselves. And if we have those kind of society, we need continuously to do teacher training. We have 160,000 teachers. 160,000 teachers for 7 million children is not enough. 7 million children we do have to go into school, but we don't have a school set up. Some of them are in the, under the tent, some of them are under the tree. So we need resource. We need building. We need a classroom. Today is the age that all around the world, people are working in the internet. People Skype. People know about things. They have technology. Why? What is wrong with the children of Afghanistan? Why can't we provide for the children of Afghanistan the same quality education with resource that other people get? Yes, we are a poor country, but can we get there? By the intelligence that the children of Afghanistan has. Believe me, Adi, I have students in the classroom that today they can compete with the American students, with the European students, because they are so smart. They are so intelligent. If you create an environment, they will go move faster and move upper grade one by one very, very fast. The reason is that they are holding back from education because they don't have resources.
Well, I understand towards that goal that you are currently undertaking plans to build a university. It's a nonprofit university, and that you intend to locate it in Herat. So can you share with us your plans for your university?
Well, the point is that we have program, like we have classes from 1st through 6th, 1st through 12th grade. But as I said, we need higher education. For us to have that higher education, also we need a building that it will be a quality building that we could really manage the higher education there. So that is the reason that I am really planning to have in Herat a university built from the scratch, from the first base. I want to build a university, and that university will cost us money. But do you know that the civil society come in asking me constantly, because I have the image of that they, everybody thinks that, oh, I work in the education and it's my duty right now to build this university. And sometimes for me to take this responsibility also is very heavy, because the finance is not there. So if with the help of God, inshallah, which I believe in, I believe in God. I believe that He will guide me. And that is my mission, is to reach out for all the civil society, for all the people. But if people really tuning into this program, I hope that they listen that if they want to build Afghanistan as a peaceful country, everybody wants Afghanistan to be in peace. People of Afghanistan want to be peace. If we want to have peace, we need higher education. And that higher education means that we have to have university that teach the curriculum of peace.
I also understand that you envision for your university that's going to be a very high tech university as well.
Absolutely, that is my hope. That is my dream. That I really want to have one of its kind. Like I built that hospital. If one of its kind is right now in Herat, there is no such one single hospital like that in the whole country. And do you know that that hospital is right now running? Poor people and rich people, they all come and they take the same service, the best service. And I am planning to have a university that have quality of education with high technology and classroom that the students can sit there and go and to internet. And from Afghanistan to US, they can take classes from this country over there. That is my hope, to do that kind of thing. And that requires money. And I think that the people of Afghanistan deserve that. 32 years of war completely destroyed Afghanistan. We lost everything we had. I think that the people of Afghanistan deserve to have a better education, to have a better environment, to have a secure and safe environment and peace in Afghanistan. People are tired of war. Do you know that just a few months ago, I had a conference inside Afghanistan. And that was specifically for love and forgiveness. The reason that we have a rich history, we have a rich culture, but through these all years of war, people forgot who they are. People forgot what our religion is teaching us, what our poet teaching us, what our philosopher is teaching us. Everybody is so sort of, wow, what is going on? Just everybody trying to really protect themselves and just run to a secure place. I think that is the time for us to really give ourselves time to be patient, to be conscious, to love each other, to share with each other, and really to share learning with each other. Because this common sharing, loving, I think that it will give us a different level. I think our society is ready for that. I really believe that.
Yes, and also, you know, according to the Human Development Report, because you were also mentioning the hospital and the medical services, you know, at least, you know, Afghanistan, as you had also mentioned, you know, is 15th of the in the Human Development Index. It's 15th of the number 15th of the least developed country in the world, and it has an average life expectancy in 2012 of 49.72 years, and it also has one of the highest maternal mortality rates in the world, as well as the highest infant mortality rate. And Afghanistan also has one of the highest incidences of people with disabilities, with approximately 1 million handicapped people, of whom 80,000 have lost limbs, mainly due to landmines and war injuries. So with the hospital that you built, I understand it's a very special hospital, the Professor Sakina Yacoubi Private Hospital in Herat. Tell us about that hospital that you have provided.
Well, see, Audrey, the problem is that in Afghanistan, yes, you know, because through the war, we lost everything we had. We didn't have that a good service, but whatever we had through the war, we lost it. So right now, for the government of Afghanistan, for the people of Afghanistan to reach 30 million people, it's very hard, and we don't have enough facility. So what I did, because through the private hospital that I built, it's a private hospital, profit for non-profit. People pay fee they could afford. The one that they could not afford, they come free. Why is the people are so happy with the service? Because the people of Afghanistan, when they go to the hospital, when the doctor does not provide good service, they are already traumatized. They already have been through war. And when they are sick, they go to get a good service. There is no good service. And the reason I built that hospital, because the mentality has to change to the patient. And that is that patient-doctor relationship. We wanting that. The emphasis. That's the reason I'm saying that we are after quality program. And when you provide quality, people respond to it. And people are responding to it. Yes, the mortality, morbidity rate is the second highest in the world in Afghanistan. But from the time we have started, as I told you, we reduce it to 70%. It's unbelievable. It's nobody could believe it. But let me tell you, having side by side with curative medicine, having health education, preventive medicine, it's really a tremendous help. And that's our policy, that in each clinic, I have six clinics inside Afghanistan that is run like a hospital, and the private hospital also there. In an average, each month, we see 18,000 patients a month. And that's not a small amount of people. The reason is that because the more we give, the more is needed. People of Afghanistan don't have that much facility to be given to them, that much health service. So we need to do the hospital, we need to build more clinic, but also we need higher education. We need to have nurses, we need to have technicians, we need to have doctors, and these are all should be trained inside our own country. Yes, we have some area that we can train, but we have a lot of area that we need to train more and more. We cannot be satisfied with one hospital, one university, or this and that. So we need higher education, and I am emphasizing that if we really want to get rid of poverty in Afghanistan, Afghanistan has the capacity to be rebuilt. We do have the resource, but we need the power of human being behind it, because human being, we need these people to be educated, to be able to work for ourselves.
Well, 18,000 patients a month is just a phenomenal figure. But it's time for us to take another break. And so this is Audrey Kitagawa with our very inspiring guest, Dr. Sakina Yakubi. You're listening to Our Sacred Journey. We'll be right back with more conversation.
The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
Is the life you're currently living enough for you? Is it the life you once dreamt? What if you could change what's not working for you in the blink of an eye? Listen for The Bliss Edition, featuring Dr. Shelley Childers. We'll explore how your body and your life is created from everything that you think and say about it, including aging, disease, illnesses, pain, the good, the bad, and the ugly. What would it be like to live a life of ease, joy, and glory? The Bliss Edition is heard every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Is there a difference between dream work and intuition? The relationship is closer than you think. These are mutually supportive concepts. When you dream, your intuition serves as a foreshadow of the future and can bring rapid results through dream analysis. Tune in to The Partnership of Intuition and Dreams with your host, Dr. Marcia Emery. Explore this unique relationship and learn to understand how the symbolism of dreams can be clarified. Listen every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. There's a course offered on 7th Wave Network that you never saw offered in college. One that provides information on how to transform ancient wisdom teachings into everyday life. You'll learn how to create from your spirit and explore the world with all of your senses. Participation is encouraged. Enroll in Spirituality 101, the course you can't afford to miss, with your host, Reverend Norma. Classes in session every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time, in your favorite classroom, Seventh Wave Network.
Invite meaning and inspiration to your life. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
You are tuned in to Our Sacred Journey. To reach Audrey Katagawa, please send an email to dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. That's dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. And now, back to Our Sacred Journey.
Now, Dr. Yacoubi, welcome to all of our listeners. I have Dr. Yacoubi with us today, our very special guest, who has done phenomenal work in Afghanistan. So, Dr. Yacoubi, I also shared earlier in our program when introducing you that you have built the Professor Sakina Yacoubi Private High Schools in Herat and Kabul. So, I understand that, you know, you have students enrolled in your schools, and can you share with us a little bit more about that? How many are enrolled and so forth?
Thank you, Audrey. I really think that this is very important for people to understand that, yes, the government support the school, the public school, and most of the students go to the public school, but that's not enough. There is not enough school for all the children to go to school. And there are parents who are really wants a better quality school for their children. And they are requesting, constantly they have been requesting from me to have a private school. Finally, I did open one private school in Kabul and one private school in Herat. And the reason we did that, because we do have a teacher training program, and we do have a qualified teacher that goes into the classroom. And also our curriculum is a little different. We provide computer classes from first grade. And also we have a preschool in that school. And as a result, the program is very, very successful. And the parents also are very involved. We have a counseling session, and we have a parents meeting, conference with the teacher. So as a result, parents are involved with the children in the school, that what, how their children are learning. They are getting reports from the teacher. And this has become a very, very popular program. And also it's very successful. To tell you, it's amazing. In 2 years, this both program have been self-sufficient. Both of our private, Professor Sakina Yacoubi's private school has been self-sufficient right now in matter of 2 years. So the reason is that because everybody wants their children there. And also in this school, only not that the people who can pay, there are people who are really come free. They have a scholarship. They are orphanage. And one school I have 140 students who are orphan. In another school, I have 60 students who are orphan. So we have the orphan. Also, we have the poor come free of charge. The reason is because that the school is very good, and the people who pay for their children, it could cover the people who are poor. So we provide the best service. And I hope that someday I will be able to build like this school, few more school, but right now my intention is to really build the university, because I could see it and everyone else could see it, that when we do provide higher education, we will have a better result and our country will be built. And really one thing that I could see to you, that when through the conference that we gave it to the people, people were in tear. People really missed that high level of education. People were in tears because when the poem was read by our poet, the people were in tears that how wonderful is that to have love and compassion. How they lost that through the war. You know, so we are trying to really, through quality education, introduce poetry, introduce art, introduce historical, messages from our past, that what a rich culture we have. How come we are today so poor and so miserable? Why we don't concentrate in a better way to survive, better way to live and change our life? And through education, through a quality education, we can do that. And that is my message to the people, that really make sure to get the better education to the people of Afghanistan.
Well, in a reference to the poet you were mentioning for the international conference that you held in for the first time this year, that poet, that conference was centered around the poetry of Rumi. And of course, we know that Rumi has outsold even William Shakespeare, and he really, you know, has been an inspiration to so many people throughout many, many generations. So is this conference something that you hope to have annually?
Well, this is something that I really want to have annually, and this is something that, yes, we have great poets. Why can't we use them? Why can't we gain from their knowledge? They were tremendous. They had tremendous knowledge. And as you said, William Shakespeare and Rumi right now is really all over the world. They are using his poetry. Myself, I felt it that we should bring this back to Afghanistan. He was born in Balkh in Afghanistan, and we should not only have Rumi, we should have Jami, we should have Hafiz, we should have Khiam, and we should bring all these people, and every year we should have an international conference. I was not expecting, but once I saw the, it was through the Facebook, through media, it went like unbelievably. The people were talking about it for weeks and weeks, because people really enjoyed it, and people really learned how much they want to really get this issue, because it was completely out of their mind. So we tried to get this, and now we could see that every year it's a possibility that we could do this conference. Yes.
Oh, this is wonderful. You know, I really encourage our listeners to hear more about Dr. Sakina Yacoubi's work by picking up Isabel Coleman's book, Chapter 5, Paradise Beneath Her Feet, How Women Are Transforming the Middle East, and also Nicholas Kristof's book, Half the Sky. Now, Dr. Yacoubi, do you have any special closing message that you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, I really would like our listener to really pay attention. The women of Afghanistan have been violated, have been abused, and have been suffered for 32 years. Right now is a time that do not let them, leave them alone. Please stay behind them. Give them support, give them a hand, that they really be self-sufficient and they have sustainable life. And that means that another 5 to 10 years, support them, help them. Help them to be on their feet. Don't leave them in the middle, that they are not on the ground, they are not on the sky, they are in the middle hanging there. Please help the women of Afghanistan, the children of Afghanistan, and be a voice for them, because they are voiceless. This is my message all over the world, because the women of Afghanistan have been courageous. They are smart, they are intelligent, but they need support. They need assistance. Yes, people maybe will say that we have been supporting for so many years, but the issue is that look at their progress. Look at their progress and compare from 10 years ago. They went a long way, they come a long way, but still they need another few years to go. And please do not leave them alone. That's my message for the world.
Thank you so much, Dr. Yacoubi. To help close out our program in remembrance of our divine connection, I understand that you would like to share a poem by Rumi.
Yes, Adi, I really would like to share this poem. I read Rumi's book since I was a little girl, and I love that book, and I am going to read this poem to our listener. You are water. We are the thirsty plants. You are the king. We are the beggars at the gate. You are the speaker. We are your voice. How could we not answer your call? Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Yacoubi, for this very special time with you and for your beautiful poem by Rumi. May God continue to bless you and your good works in all ways. Your dedication, selfless service, and hard work on the ground in Afghanistan have benefited millions of people there. We express our sincerest appreciation and gratitude for your part in helping to make this world a better place. And I encourage our listeners to please support the very powerful and important work of Dr. Sakina Yacoubi. And let us Be sure to tune in again next Monday on our Sacred Journey, noon Hawaii Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another inspiring program. Dr. Sakina Yakubi and I thank you for joining us today, and we wish you a very good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a part of Our Sacred Journey. Please join Audrey Katagawa again next Monday at noon Hawaiian Standard Time, 3 p.m. in the West, 6 p.m. in the East, on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. This week, think about the contributions of love and compassion that you'll make, and how together we can create a better, harmonious, and more peaceful world.